Today's message will come from the book of Isaiah. The book derives its name, of course, from the author, whose name means the Lord is salvation. And that is really the basic theme of the book of Isaiah. The Lord is salvation. Isaiah, of course, prophesied 700 years before Christ in a time of great international tension. By way of background to the book of Isaiah and to our text that we'll read, announce in a little bit, following the death of Solomon, the nation of Israel, as we know, was divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom, referred to throughout the Old Testament as Israel, and the southern kingdom, referred to throughout the Old Testament as Judah. Isaiah began his ministry near the end of Uzziah's reign, who was the 10th king of Judah. And then he continued his ministry through the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Hezekiah. We learn this from Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1. So Isaiah ministered during the last years of the northern kingdom, Israel, and up until its fall to Assyria. But he ministered to the southern kingdom, Judah. And he ministered to the southern kingdom during a time in which they were in great danger. And the reason they were in great danger was because they were following the very same paths that led to the destruction of the northern kingdom. And this is the time in which Isaiah is ministering to this southern kingdom, Judah. The book of Isaiah is clearly divided into two parts. It's almost two different books. The division is so stark. But it's divided into two different parts. Chapters 1 through 39 contain messages of coming judgment. God was going to judge Judah because of their sinful ways. The second portion of the book, this isn't our text, but in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, this is where it begins. And the words are to Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And from that point on, chapter 40 through chapter 66, we have messages of comfort. God, in the first 39 chapters, basically told Judah that they were going to fall, that they would be destroyed. But in the remaining chapters, he tells them that he would comfort them, that he would deliver his people. In this section of the book, chapter 40 through chapter 66, Isaiah assures the people of God of God's love, of his care for them, also of his faithfulness to his promises, to his plans, to his purposes concerning his people. In so doing, Isaiah paints a portrait of God. He paints a portrait of God as being accessible, as being eternal, faithful, glorious, holy, just, kind, long-suffering, loving, merciful, powerful, righteous, true, unequaled, unsearchable, and all-wise. And it is from this section of the book, these messages of comfort, that we want to take our text this morning. If we would turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, and we'll read verse 12 and verse 13. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. These two verses are what is known as a parallelism. That is, one line states a fact, that would be verse 12. And the next line, which would be verse 13, restates the same truth, but in different words, or in a different way. And that's what we have in these two verses. These two verses speak of the tender love and care and comfort that God shows and gives to His people. And this was a message that was proclaimed again in a time of great danger, a time of great inconvenience, a time of great confusion. It was no doubt a time when God's people stood in need of God's comfort. I mean, He's just spent 39 chapters delivering one message after another of God's coming judgment. And now He seeks to comfort God's people. God's people, and by that term we simply mean the saved, stand in need of God's comfort. Although His people have been favored by God and being chosen by His sovereignty, called by His grace into a state of acceptance, we need comfort, because we must live in a world filled with sin. We must live in a world where Satan walks about seeking to devour us. We must live in a world that is really a place of great restlessness. It's a very unsettled place. It is a place filled with many pitfalls that can leave you maimed and can leave you with many, many wounds. The truth is, you will not get through this life without some wounds. This world that we live in is a place filled with complications. And the reason it's so complicated is because people reject God's ways. But it's a world filled with complications. It's a place where we can easily get snagged and entangled. It's a place where there are many stumbling blocks and one obstacle after another. It is a world that really is a place of spiritual desolation. It's a very barren place, spiritually speaking. It is a place of dilemma. You run into one dilemma after another. It is a place of trouble. You may go through a trouble, and that trouble may end, and you say, well, I'm glad that's over. Another trouble's coming. I mean, there'll be more. If you live long enough, there'll be more. Because the world's a place of trouble. It's a place of difficulties. It's a place of sorrows. It's a place of great heartaches and anguish and distress. It's a place of trials. It's a place of tribulations, and the world is filled with pressures. The world is a very frustrating place. The world is filled with disappointments. There are a lot of battles for the child of God in this world. A lot of struggles. It's a place of change. Sometimes change is for the good, sometimes it's not so good. But it's a place of change. It's a place of upheaval. It's a place of uncertainty. We know not what a day may bring forth. So in this world, we are surrounded by needs. We are surrounded by cares. We are surrounded by burdens. And while we're living in this world, we do so encumbered by bodies of sinful flesh. We live in this world encumbered by bodies filled with infirmities. And on top of all of this, we, the people of God, are strangers in this world. We are in special need of God's love, special need of God's care and comfort. And we can always say with assurance, there is help for the hurting. The question is, where is this love, this care, this comfort, this help? Where is it to be found? To find and experience this love and care and comfort and help, let me assure you of this. You do not need to search from one end of the world to the other to find it. You do not need to search through all the rubbish of the world. Many are doing so. You don't need to do that. You do not need to search among the broken cisterns of the world. You do not need to search in all the muddy waters. You do not need to search among the ruins for this love, for this comfort, for this care, for this help. You certainly do not need to search among the philosophies and among the religions of the world. Nor do you need to search for this love and care and comfort and help amongst the pursuits of the world, amongst the pleasures and the riches and the promises of the world. So where do we find this love, this care, this comfort, this help that we stand in need of? If we'll listen, we'll hear a voice. And it is the voice of God. Verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And we want to take the central thought of the message from those words. Those words are really the summary of what was said in verse 12. It's just another way of saying what was said in verse 12. When the Lord describes his love, his care, his comfort, and his help that he manifests toward his children, it is interesting that he uses the analogy and the illustration of a mother. That's the illustration that he uses. And this isn't the only place. We want to speak this morning on the mothering nature of God. And we feel that we must preface the message by saying, God is not a woman. God is not a woman. That's not an insult upon womanhood. But God is not a woman. The Bible uses masculine pronouns to describe God. People will say, well, that's because men wrote the Bible. Not all of it. And the Bible uses masculine pronouns to describe God. But for the sake of illustrating His tender, compassionate love, care, comfort, and help that He gives to His people, He uses the analogy and the illustration of a mother. Verse 13 again, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. I want to look first, consider first of all, the word picture of a mother. And he draws that picture here in verse 13. We must remember that whatever analogy is used of God, God far exceeds the analogy. All analogies and all illustrations fall short of who He is. We must always remember that. You take any analogy of God throughout the Scriptures, He is presented as a father. He far exceeds that analogy. He is presented as a mother. He far, far exceeds that analogy. He is presented as a rock, a shield, a refuge, a fortress, a fountain, a friend. None of those analogies, none of those metaphors do justice to who He is. Whatever analogy is used to describe God, God is far more wonderful. And that is true of our text also. The love, the care, and the comfort of a mother is very special. It's very unique. But it's only a small expression of the love, care, and comfort that we find in God. Again, this is not the only place that God uses the analogy and the illustration of a mother. In Isaiah 49 and verse 15, we read, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she would not have compassion on the son of her womb? The answer to that question is, not likely. Oh, it happens occasionally. That's unnatural affection. That's another message. Yea, they may forget. Not many, but some may. Yet will I not forget thee. He's comparing himself to that nursing mother. Another analogy and illustration is of a mothering bird. This is used several times in the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 32, verses 11 and 12, we read, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. There are several verbs here. Stirreth. Fluttereth over her young. Spreadeth abroad her wings. Taketh them. Beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. He's comparing himself to that mothering eagle, but he far exceeds that. Psalm 57 in verse 1, the psalmist declared, "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." What's he referring to? He's referring to that mother bird. Psalm 61 verse 4, "I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Psalm 91 in verse 4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust." All of those verses speak of that mothering bird. Jesus also used this analogy, an illustration. We hear him in Matthew 23 and verse 37. He says, "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." Again, the Lord's love and care and comfort is being described. And he's using the analogy and he's using the illustration of a mother. Whether it be a woman or whether it be a bird, he is still using the illustration of a mother. That hen stretches out her wings to cover her brood. And praise be to God, we can cuddle up under his wings today. Just like little birdies, snuggling under the warmth and the safety and the security of the mother's wings. And when you look at God in that picture, you just got to say, wow. Wow. I can cuddle up with God. And considering the analogy and the illustration of a mother in describing his love and care and comfort, consider that the Bible does reveal several things about the nature of a mother's heart. Just a few of them. There's many more. But it's brought out in the lives of several women, several mothers in the Bible. A mother's heart desires to have children. That's a mother's heart. A mother's heart desires children. Genesis 30 verse 1, "And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, she said unto him, Jacob, give me children, or else I die." She had a desire for children. A mother's heart is determined to protect her children. For an example, consider Jochebed, the mother of Moses. You remember the story, but she made an ark, placed him down by the river for his protection. A mother's heart is willing to sacrifice. In the days of Solomon, you remember there in 1 Kings chapter 3, that one woman, her baby died during the night. And she went and she took the living infant of another and replaced him with her dead infant. This, of course, caused a dispute between these two women to whom the living child belonged. And Solomon, knowing the nature of a mother's heart, set about to prove who the mother was. And we read in 1 Kings 3, 24 and 25, Solomon said, "Bring me a sword." And they brought him a sword before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two and give one half to the one and the other half to the other." Solomon, knowing the nature of a mother's heart, knew that the real mother would never permit that to happen The mother immediately and fervently spoke up in verse 26. Speaking to Solomon, she said, "Oh my Lord, give her the living child." And he knew. It is the nature of a mother's heart to sacrifice. It is the nature of a mother's heart to teach her children. Proverbs 31 and verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So again in our text and in several other places, when God desires to reflect in some degree his tenderness and his compassion, his love, his care, his comfort, he uses the analogy and he uses the illustration of a mother. Then notice the picture that is painted in our text. Our text begins with the words in verse 12, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I." And then there are several actions spoken of in these verses. And God is the doer of every one of them. And we are called upon to behold, to carefully consider what is being said. He first of all promises, "I will extend or stretch out peace to her like a river." God is the giver, God is the bestower of peace. And it is peace like a river. That is, it is progressive peace. It is flowing peace. It is deep. It is enriching. I ask you today, do you know anything about this peace like a river? Following this, the Lord speaking of his love, care, and comfort for his own, in verse 12 gives us three word pictures. And they are word pictures of a mother caring and watching over her children. The very word mother, of course, speaks of a special relationship. Keep in mind, God far exceeds the word picture. God far exceeds what we're about to look at here in verse 12. But in verse 12, we want to look at three pictures. Three pictures. Notice, "Then shall ye suck." Then shall ye suck. Keep in mind what God is describing. He is describing his love, his care, his comfort that he gives to his people. The picture here is, and if we could just get it in our minds, we have a picture of a mother. She's cuddling and holding close her child to her breast, nourishing that child. This is what God does for his own. This is a picture of what God does for his own people. It is a picture of God cuddling, holding us close, and nourishing you and I. Again, about all we can say is, wow, God does that. Yes, he does. He is our nourisher. He is our strength giver. This is a picture This mother holding that child close to her and nourishing that child is a picture of provision. When that mother holds that child, what's she doing? She is providing for that child. Does not God do that for us? She is nourishing. She's bringing refreshment to that child. And oh, as you look at the picture, how content and how satisfied that infant is at its mother's breast. That child held close to her mother's breast feels all is well. All is well. I ask you today, do you enjoy this kind of relationship with God? Do you know what it means for God to cuddle you and to bring you close and to nourish you? Do you have and do you enjoy that kind of relationship with God today? We have this picture. Can you place yourself? Can you see yourself in that picture? Secondly, notice the second picture. Ye shall be born upon her side. This is a picture of a mother carrying and toting her child on her hip. Ye shall be born, B-O-R-N-E, carried upon her sides. There is that child on mom's hip day after day. How did that child get there? Well, it had to be lifted. Mom lifted the child. It is a picture of a child that has been lifted. And now it's being transported. Where is it being transported to? Wherever mom's going. That's wonderful. God lifts us. God transports us. Where to? Wherever he's going. I mean, you can't beat that. Lift it. Transport it. In a loving, caring, comforting, and helping way. And this is what God does for his own. It is a picture of God picking us up. Isn't it wonderful? When God picks you up and carries you to where he's going. Again, we say, wow, God does that. Yes, he does. And oh, how safe and how secure that child feels carried by mom. That child is attached to mom's hip. That child is cleaving to mom's hip. And that child feels all is well. Doesn't matter what's going on. All is well. And that's what God does for his own. He lifts us. He carries us. And may I say again, God always exceeds the analogy. He lifts us and carries us, and no one can do it like him. Just like for that child, no one can do it like mom. No one can do it like him. Notice Exodus 19:4. He says, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them. I ask you today, do you have and enjoy this relationship with God? Do you know what it's like for God to come along and just lift you up and carry you? Do you enjoy that today? Do you enjoy that kind of relationship with God? Again, we have a picture here. Can you place yourself in that picture? Can you see yourself as it relates to God in that picture? Then notice we have a third picture. And be dandled upon her knees. The picture here is a mother bouncing her child upon her knees. What's she doing when she does that? She's bringing joy to her child. A child enjoys that. Perhaps the child was restless. So she picks the child up and she sets the child on her knee and begins to bounce the child. Soon the restlessness is replaced with joy and laughter. This is what God does for His own. God does the same thing. All we can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a picture of God bringing joy to His own. Perhaps we're restless. God picks us up and brings us joy and causes laughter. In a world filled with sorrow, the Lord is our joy. And no one can bring joy like Him. No one. I ask you today, do you have this relationship with God? Or do you get sorrowful and you just pretty much stay that way? As if you had no one to bring joy into your life. Can you place yourself, can you see yourself in this picture? Again, the picture is a mother bouncing the child upon her knee. So what we have here is cuddled, nourished, lifted, transported, dandled by God Himself. Oh, what a God. What a God. Do you enjoy God today? Do you enjoy the Lord today? Then he goes on to verse 13 and says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. You see, the threefold picture in verse 12, it all speaks of love and care and comfort. He says, as a mother, as that mother in verse 12, so will I comfort you. To comfort means to bring relief. It means to soothe. No one can soothe a child like a mother. No one can sympathize with a child, a little child like a mother. To comfort means to provide support and reassurance, to bring tranquility and contentment. The list of the comforting ways of a mother, of course, is long. But the comforting ways of God are inexhaustible. There's no end. There's no end to God's comforting ways. Have you ever noticed speaking mostly of little children, but if a child is hurting, mom and dad can both be standing there, and most of the time, that hurting child cries for mom. Most of the time, that hurting child runs to mom. Because that hurting child knows the tenderness and sympathy of mom. You know, there were times, and this isn't a criticism of my dad, but there were times I might run to dad and he'd say, "Quit your crying. Doesn't hurt that bad." You know, after a couple times of that, I learned that's not the place to go. Not if you want tenderness and some pity. The hurting child learns. If they want tenderness, they want sympathy, mom's the most likely place to find it. We need to learn that as God's people. So many times, God's people, they're hurting and they run to the wrong places. We need to learn who to cry out to, and that is God. So God is comparing His love and His care and His comfort to that of a mother, or using the analogy of a mother. And a mother's loving care is special. It's unique. It's sacrificial. It's full of sympathy. It's patient. It forbears. It forgives. It's constant. And the love of God far, far exceeds the analogy and the illustration. So look at the pictures that we have here of the mothering nature of God. We have God cuddling, holding close, and nourishing His own. Again, I ask, can you see yourself in that picture? Are you experiencing God in such a way? The second picture, we have God picking up and carrying His own. Again, I ask you, can you see yourself in that picture? As it relates to God, are you experiencing God in such a way? Third picture, we see God bouncing His own upon His knee, bringing joy into their lives. Can you see yourself in that picture? Are you experiencing God in such a way? Looking at these pictures, again we say, wow, that's what God does for you and I. Do you enjoy Him today? Do you enjoy God? I mean, if you don't enjoy God, something is terribly wrong within your heart. Do you enjoy God today? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.